Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you all here. Let's begin by standing together and turning to hymn number 669. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we praise you for Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for the story of what he did for us. He left his home in glory. He was at your right hand, the second person of the Trinity. And when the right time came, you sent him to come here and to become a human being like one of us, yet still remaining God, to live among us, to teach us, to show us how to live, and then to pay the price for all of our sins. Because we cannot keep the law, we cannot do what is right. We are sinful people in ourselves. We've inherited this and we've embraced it in our lives. All of us have at different times. And Father, we thank you that you still loved us so much that you gave your Son to take our place, to be the sacrifice for sin, to take all of the wrath of God upon himself instead of on us so that we could go free. And Father, we praise you that this salvation is offered to all. He loves the world. He died to save the world. And your gospel plan is that each of us must choose. We must put our faith and our trust in him alone and that finished work at Calvary to be saved, to be delivered from the judgment, and to be given eternal life. And not only that, the gift of the Holy Spirit sealing us in the faith, coming in and making us new. We're born again as believers in Jesus Christ. This incredible supernatural work of your Spirit, we praise you that it's been done for each of us here today who are believers. We pray that we will learn more about it, grow closer to you in it, walk by the Spirit more and more each day and for longer periods, sinning less is certainly our desire, and we pray that we would see your power evidenced in our lives and in this hour, that as we hear the word preached, may it find fertile soil in each of us and bear fruit. Father, you know what each one of us needs. Some of us need encouragement today. Others might need rebuke, instruction, challenge. It all depends on where each of us is at, and you know, your Spirit knows. He lives in each of us, and we pray that he will accomplish his great work. Fill Pastor as he speaks. Bless him as he brings the message. We pray that all the singing and the praying and the sharing that's done in this hour will bring joy to your heart, be pleasing to you, bring honor and glory to your name and the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, bless this hour. We praise you for the privilege to be here. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And let's
continue. We're reading this morning from Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, wonderful prophecy that the prophet Isaiah has given us here in this chapter. Beginning at verse number 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these? Seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them, that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much this morning for all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we sang these songs this morning, it warms our hearts to think of all that we are in your sight. You love us. You're with us. You guide us and help us every day. And we pray that we might truly not think of ourselves as being forgotten or forsaken. We know that you love us and that you're with us. May we love you and serve you as we should. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today, to worship you. And I pray that each and every one of us would be encouraged and strengthened and helped in our life as we seek to live from day to day. And Lord, you know each and every heart. You know where we stand in your sight. If there's anyone here who has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as Savior, we pray that this would be the day of salvation. Lord, you know. We just commit it all into your hands. And thank you so much for your salvation to us. The forgiveness of all of our sins. Cleansing in the precious blood of Jesus. And we pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you. Lord, be with those who cannot be with us today. Those who are not well. Pray that you will restore them to health and strength. Meet their needs and bring them out again. Give us a desire to know you better and to serve you more fully. Our Father, we just commit it all into your hands. We do pray for our country today. Dear Lord, you know the conditions of this country. We just pray for each and every one. There's so much going on. The natural disasters and things of that nature that are happening that affect everyone's life and so many other things. And people are lost in sin without hope and without help unless they come to you. So we pray that you'll bring them to yourself and help us as your people to be good witnesses to our neighbors, our friends, our loved ones, and that we might see them come to know you in a personal way. Father, thank you so much again. For all your grace and mercy, help us and lead us that we might honor you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at Isaiah 49. The mission of the Messiah, the servant of the Lord, has a great deal to say about it. I hear the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before Jesus, whoever came into the world, we find this wonderful passage of Scripture. And, you know, there's been several people that we've seen in these lessons, these messages on Isaiah that are called the servant of the Lord. Remember, it mentioned David. Cyrus, we looked at him, I think it was last week, the great king of Persia that God used in such a marvelous way to liberate Israel and to send them back home again. What a wonderful thing that was. He was obeying the Lord, even though he said he didn't know him. That's kind of funny. But anyway, hopefully he did come to know him before it was over. You know, it makes you wonder. He seemed to be know a lot about God, but whether he actually came to know him, we don't know. But then we find, par excellence, the Lord Jesus Christ is the servant of the Lord. He is the Messiah. He's the one who came to set his people free from sin and to reach out to the Gentiles, the nations of the world. And we'll see all that in this chapter today. No one else fulfills what is said in this passage like Jesus. There's no question. I don't think about it at all. We find, first of all here, the call and preparation of the Messiah in verse 1, talking to all these people. He speaks out to them, and this is Jesus himself, the servant of God, Israel's Redeemer, who is speaking. He's bringing forth this message. He says, listen, all of you, Hearken, you people, from afar, a big audience. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Wow, what in the world is he talking about here? It is God's servant himself, the Lord Jesus, who is speaking, as I said, in these opening verses. And he's speaking to this large audience, to the Jewish people, yes, but also to the nations. He's pronouncing proclamation about who he is and what he's going to do. And he was called, notice it says, even before his birth. You know that famous Christmas passage over in Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, that the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So here he's talking about Jesus coming forth, the one who has always been. That's interesting. He is God Almighty, second person of the Holy Trinity. And here he's talking about God called him, the Father, sent him forth with his mission even before he was in his mother's womb. And from the womb itself, he spoke to him. The Lord gave him his name before he was in his mother's womb. This is in Luke chapter 1. I know we're very familiar with this too. This also has to do with Christmas as we think of it. But we're having Christmas here in August, so we'll just go ahead and talk about it. Luke chapter 1, and beginning at first at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So here he was called, the angel told her to call his name Jesus before he was ever even conceived in the womb. And so we see here the virgin birth. Mary, of course, was a virgin. She didn't know any man. There was no way that she could have a child except for what God did in her, right? The Holy Spirit came upon her and she conceived this holy child. And then he goes on here in the next verse. He says, He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Think of the Lord Jesus, you know, a sharp sword. And he spoke with power and authority wherever he went. Everyone had to listen to him because God had given him this power to speak forth the word like a sharp sword, cutting into the hearts of those who needed to hear this message. At one time, the soldiers returned to their leaders. You remember the Pharisees? They had sent him out to bring Jesus, to arrest him. And he said, they came back without him, and they said, no man ever spake like this man. Right? Oh, you can't. How can we possibly arrest him? You know? He's different than everyone else. And then the other one, over in Hebrews chapter 4, and let's see if I can find it here. I know I put it in here. Hebrews chapter, here it is. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So it's interesting here, it talks about the word of God being like a sharp two-edged sword, right? And Jesus said that about himself. Here, my mouth is like a sharp sword. And in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. You know, for the first, 30 years? There's very little said about Jesus, right? You read the New Testament, you find he was born. Yes, he was born. They went back to Nazareth. And then it wasn't when he was 12 years old, they went up to the temple. And then after that, that's nothing else is said. What was he doing all this time? It says here that you have hid me. God the Father hid him and made him like a polished shaft, an arrow that's ready to be used. In his quiver hath he hid me. What did Jesus do all that time? You ever think about that? Oh, I know there's some stories told about him turning a clay bird into a real bird and he flies away. You know, you ever heard that one? Anyway, there's all kinds of stories that they tell about Jesus, but the Bible itself doesn't talk about that. But we know that whatever he did, he was prepared to serve the Lord, to accomplish his will, and he's hidden in the quiver that God had prepared for him. And he says, you are my servant, O Israel. It's interesting he called him Israel. Why did he call Jesus Israel? The rest of the whole passage is absolutely talking about him. There's no question. So when God speaks to him as Israel, he must be talking to him as the representative for Israel, the one who has come to show forth the true Israel and what God's faithful servant. So we think that's what he's talking about here. We really don't know for sure. But anyway, he called him Israel, because Israel had failed, you remember? And they had supposed to be the ones that would be the witness to the nations. And yet, so often, they fell into idolatry and worshiped the same gods that the others were worshiping. But here we have the true servant of God, the Lord Jesus, who came to bring them to God. Says he came to save them from their sins. So here we have the commission that God gives to Jesus, to the Messiah. Here in verse 3, he says, he says, you're my servant in whom I will be glorified. See? Jesus came to glorify the Father, didn't he? He said he came to show us who God was really like. You know, the people had no idea what God was really like. He's the unseen one, right? The unknown God, the one that no one really understood, and Jesus came to reveal what God is like. He came in human form as the God himself and showing forth what he is like. So here we find he's commissioned. He's commissioned to go and to glorify the Father. And he said, I do always those things which please the Father. You see? This was it. He came forth to, as a willing servant, humbled himself before God and served faithfully throughout his life and never turned aside in any way. And so here and we find his commission. Down in verse 6, this is a wonderful verse. I underlined it in my Bible. He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. That's one thing he called him to do. And to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Wow. Think of that. Jesus came not only to reach Israel. He did come to save them from their sins. But he also is reaching out and sending his light, the light of the gospel, the good news of salvation, to the Gentiles. Someone's called this this verse the Great Commission of the Old Testament. Thinking of that. Here he is. That's his job, to reach out. Now today we have the Great Commission in the book of Matthew, speaking there about going and preaching the gospel to every creature, right? And to reach them and to bring them to a true and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have this. We find here his reaching out to them. And then in verse 7, it says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth. Here he's speaking about, you know, Jesus came. He came to save us from our sins of what happened. He was rejected, wasn't it? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. See? So, we find here he was rejected. We know that. And we'll see that more in the next message over in that wonderful 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It speaks about what happened to him, how he was rejected and crucified for our sins. Yet, in the end here, though, it talks about he was rejected, yes, but then it says in the last part, a king shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. So we find here that eventually others will come and bow before him and put their faith and trust in him. Here we have in Philippians chapter 2, again, a very familiar passage, but I think important. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it tells us, it says, as believers, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, let's say it. Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. All right. And this is what he's saying. This is what it's going to come to. They rejected him when he came. They took him and they crucified him. But when he comes again, he's going to, every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue is going to confess that he is the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. So then we'll look here at some of the promises that God makes to the Messiah, to the Lord. In verse 8, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." So here, God's speaking about his relationship with Israel. He's going to make him a covenant of the people. See? Jesus came to restore Israel, first of all, to a relationship with God. And here we find he's giving him the help and preservation that he needs throughout his ministry, and that he might be able to serve in bringing a covenant to the people to establish the earth. So Jesus had blessed fellowship with his Father, you remember, during his life here on earth. Spent many hours in prayer. He went out a great deal before dawn, it says, and prayed. And he prayed all night. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, of course, he prayed and asked the Lord if it be possible to take the cup away. But of course, he couldn't. He had to fulfill all that the Father had sent him to do. But he had that wonderful, blessed fellowship, you remember, until he was on the cross. And at a certain point, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake his Son? What do you think? He was bearing the sins of the world, wasn't he? He took our sin upon himself. And God, the Heavenly Father, turned his back, so to speak, on his Son, and allowed him to bear the sins of the world. And but he could not look upon him at that time. But then he was restored again. He says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Okay. And then the angels came to strengthen him from time to time, remember? Sent from heaven. After he was in such anguish, the angels came and gave him strength and encouraged him along the way. And notice it says here in that Jesus, let me see if I can get it, verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. So here we have Jesus' ministry set the prisoners free in many different cases, right? From sickness, cured them. From demon possession. And most of all, from their sins. Go and sin no more, he says, right? And he set us free from our sins. Let's look at John 8. John 8 and verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, You shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So there, he sends forth the prisoners, and he liberates us from whatever is bothering us, from sin, and we have eternal life. We have life here in our present time, and he is with us. He has mercy on them and shall lead them and guide them. No doubt the prophet here is thinking about those who are captives in Babylon. This is the local context. And some of this, as we're reading it here, he's talking about taking them out and leading them forth. And that's part of it. But also we can apply it to ourselves. I think the Lord leads us forth into victory as we follow him. And notice in verse 12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Has anybody ever been to the land of Sinim? Anybody? Huh? Okay. Well, we don't really know where it is. But anyway, there's two different ideas. One was it was someplace there in Egypt, and the other one was that it was referring to the land of the Chinese. Now, I don't know how they got such a wide idea on this, but at any rate, the idea is he's talking about people from far and near, right? And he's going to send them forth, he's going to liberate them, and give them what they need for their lives. So we find here a little bit of praise beginning in verse 13. He says, Praise to the Lord for his loving care for his people. It says, Sing, O heavens. Okay, people in heaven, now they do sing, right? We've been looking at that in Revelation. They do a lot of singing up there. But here also, he says, And be joyful, O earth. So just like they're singing up in heaven, we're supposed to be singing down here, right? We do a lot of singing. And it's right to do. And to rejoice in all that God has done for us. And break forth into singing, O mountains. Wow. I guess, I think that's a figure of speech. What do you think, huh? I think it might be. But anyway, we should be joyful, right? When we think we are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all we have to do is follow him and rejoice in his goodness. Why should we be afraid? Why should we be disheartened with the way things go here on earth when we are the children of God? I know. I get that way too. So, you know, I'm not trying to say something too pious. But at any rate, this is the idea. Sing, rejoice, be joyful. For the Lord has comforted his people. and will have mercy upon the afflicted. You know, there's coming an end to all of this, right? Huh? We might, you know, you might think, well, it'll never end, but eventually it's going to. And if we're his children, then we're going to go to be with him, and that's going to be glorious. Huh? So we can rejoice in all that. And here the Lord expresses his great love and faithfulness to the people. Notice Zion, first of all, says Israel, says, you know, oh, the Lord has forsaken me. God's forgotten all about me. Here I am in the wilderness. In Babylon. We're captives. What do you mean? God's not with me. He's gone. But what does he say? This is beautiful. In verse 15 it says, can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now this was written a long, long time ago. And maybe it was different back then. But what about today? They do forget, don't they? They don't have that love and compassion. We think of all that's going on in this country and around the world. People just taking the life of children before they're born, shortly after. Now they're talking about, you know, infants. Destroy them. They're inconvenient, you know. But it says here, a woman, ordinarily, the natural instinct is to love that child. Huh? And most do, I think. But there are sometimes these things that happen that are so cruel and unnatural. He says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God promises he is not going to forsake us. He is not going to leave us by ourselves. He's with us, right? And we can trust him because he doesn't lie. He said, I'll not forget you. And this beautiful verse, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. That's, Mark put that on the front page of the bulletin today. I love that. The scars of Jesus in his hands was for me and for you, right? We are tattooed, in a sense, upon the hands of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So here we have this wonderful God of ours who is more faithful even than a mother's love. That's the greatest thing we know. It's a mother's love. But God's love is so much greater even than that. And he will never forsake us. He has graven us upon his hands. You remember, of course you do, when Jesus arose from the dead, right? He went and saw the disciples. And they all rejoiced. Hey, and they told Thomas, hey, we saw the Lord. You know, he was here. Thomas said, I won't believe it unless I see the scar in his side and in his hands. So the next Sunday, Jesus came into the room there. Thomas was there. Okay, Thomas, take a look. Put your hand into my side and look at my hands. And he fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. You know, that should be our reaction, shouldn't it? When we realize what Jesus has done for us. He died to take our place, and his hands, you think he still has the nail prints in his hands? One of the songs says that, I think. And maybe he does. But it's a reminder to us of what we have because of him. He has given us eternal life, We have all that we could possibly ever need because of him. So what a wonderful prophecy we have here of the mission of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. God sent him to provide the way of salvation for us. And all we need to do is place our faith and trust in him. Huh? Have you done that? Are you sure? You know that you have eternal life in Christ? That's what he says. That's what it's all about. We have to come to him and put our faith and trust in him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we can rejoice in that. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for all your wonderful word to us today. We pray that you'll speak to us and teach us, encourage us and help us, that we might walk in fellowship with you and be faithful to you. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from anything that we do that's not right. And help us to be faithful. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name. Amen.